Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Hope everyone is well and blessed in their particular space in this great planet Earth. Hang on, hang on. Change is coming. Change is coming. It's underway right now. A lot of pressure being applied. A lot of things being learned and knowledge and of truth. And there's going to be a lot of stuff occurring now because everyone, even the ears of influence, are really beginning to understand, learn, and see. And have evidence of this great transformation. They're doing it economically. They're doing an economic transformation right now and setting some things up. We're going to have here in America, we're going to have a second situation or occurrence similar to the real estate bubble burst in 2008. Like I said before, The Big Short is a really good movie for you to watch in that regard, so you can get some insight on what's going on and what they did with the real estate bubble busting. But this time, it's going to be twice as big. Last time was about $7 trillion. I know at the end of that movie it says it was about $5 trillion, but in all actuality, it was about $7 trillion that were confiscated by the government and by Wall Street, and they're getting ready to replace it. Well, not replace. That's not the word, or that's not the right word I want. They're getting ready to reposition it in other places in the world, especially in the emerging markets of the Middle East and in Africa. And I personally think that it's long overdue. I don't like necessarily the way they're going about it. I think there should be more. They should be more forthcoming in terms of letting the American people know what's actually going on here and how beneficial it's going to be in the long run. Yes, we will have lower income. Some of the lower income people will come up some to like about the $15 an hour pay raise because everything commodities and different things like that are going to be higher. There's going to be more of an inflationary type of positioning or repositioning in all this transition, so that's what they're gearing up for, giving people more money on one side but taking it away on the other side, and it's all about appearances, how it appears to be when there's actually no gain, and hopefully and prayerfully there's not a whole lot of loss in this process, monetarily speaking. As far as our American economy is concerned. Now, the longevity of it is that we'll be a more of an outsourcing nation, working with other nations in and throughout the world, such as Russia, India, Brazil, and different things like that. We'll be working together. They had a flyby not too long ago where Russian fighters flew over, within 30 feet of American warcraft, American warships. Now you have to understand and believe that they were given permission or a pass to do so. They didn't just do this randomly or anything like that. And furthermore, it's more like a joint force, if you will. And they're just showing off their their hardware to the Americans and stuff like that because. You can trust and believe if they just, by random behavior came that close to an American warship, oh, you can best believe there'd be a price to pay for that. It'd be wet and final. I'll just say that because our president just doesn't play that, So and they wouldn't be foolish enough to provoke, America in that regard. By doing something like that, they're conscious too. They're very conscious people. So that's kind of a joint military maneuver or activity out there. Believe it or not, you can look in Syria. What's going on in Syria? The Russians were allowed to come in there and you know, do their air campaign and different things like that. Now the media is telling you they're striking the wrong people. They're not. They're precision fighters and they know exactly what they're doing. They're doing this to give, you know, what we have learned over the past coalition type force maneuvers is that, you know, we go in there and we may disrupt more than you know, we care to do as we go into these different places such as Iraq, you know, and Syria and places in the Middle East and stuff like that, you know, Libya, where there have been, you know, there were dictators and rulers and stuff, but they kept the people together, you know, and in line. It wasn't chaos and disruption. And, you know, when we go in there and do what we do, you know, of course, it's, you know, in a disarray, we leave things in a disarray and never, you know, it's unfinished business. You know, and this is what causes a lot of anger and sentiment towards the United States or towards the West, because we don't finish what we start, you know, and we need to do that. And we will do that, you know, and that's what, you know, that's what all this collection of money and, you know, things is, you know, is all about, you know, and they're just repositioning it. It's called the greatest transformation of wealth in the history of the world. Okay, so anyhow, I kind of got off on a tangent there, but one thing kind of leads to another. And I just wanted to kind of share that with, you know, with folks what's actually, you know, going on behind the scenes. And it's certainly not as it appears. Now the Americans are going back into Syria. And basically what they're doing is setting up, they're going in there to see how, you know, what the Russians did in terms of their bombing and stuff like that, and getting everything situated and set up so we can have a transition government there in Syria. And you watch this occur. Al-Assad has to step down in order for peace to, you know, reign in that particular part of the world. He's done so many atrocities, you know, in terms of, you know, killing his own people and things of that nature. He'll never, you know, the sentiment is so deep and so divided there. There's no way, you know, with the sentiment of these people there in that region, you know, will they allow him to stay in power. He'll have to, and they're just trying to create the environment and do it sensibly this time, you know, so that it you know, all the things, you know, just, you know, they can do it in somewhat of an orderly manner and fashion. You know, yeah, there's been a lot of fighting and a lot of things tore up over there, but, you know, nation building is big business, folks, and it's longevity, you know, especially when, you know, the nation has, you know, riches and resources and different things like that to support, you know, repayment for the restructuring and rebuilding. It's big business. And like I say, in the long term of things, it's going to, you know, really help the United States out, because we'll be able to outsource this any and all type of, you know, consumer goods and building materials and infrastructure development, you know, properties and pieces and products and things of that nature, technologies and all kinds of stuff would be, you know, wide open and in full scale, full swing delivery, and, you know, coming from nations that have great wealth, you know, the wealthiest nations and land places or land masses in the world, you know, so there'll be repayment and it'll be a steady flow. And like I say, they have to balance, you know, the trade mechanisms, you know, out prior to doing this, you know, and then they can move forward with the actual transformation of wealth. And basically what that simply means is, you know, where a man, you know, over in the Middle East and Africa was dirt poor and less than poor, now he'd be brought up to a certain standard of economic capability in terms of earning an income. You know, I mean, you know, some of the people over here in America would be making, you know, $15, $20, $40, $50 an hour, doing what that same person could do, you know, in the Middle East, Africa, or India for, you know, $2, $3, you know, an hour, you know, maybe making, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 a year. And he is just elated. He's off the, you know, off the hook, off the chain, because, you know, he's never made that kind of money before, and he's never been able to support his family and his community and his nation, you know, like this before. So, and as far as the, you know, the wealth mongers of people that, you know, own, you know, the wealth of the world and the top 1, 2, and 20%, of course, their profit margin is that much greater, because we can do business around the world, you know, simultaneously now through e-commerce and different things like that. Of course, again, their profit margin is much greater. So they're all for it, all behind it. And, you know, what they're doing is repositioning America, you know, so that when this transition changes or takes place, you know, that we'll have our, you know, minimal, you know, our you know, we'll be able to survive, you know, and carry on. We won't be, you know, way out there wealthy like, you know, individually like we used to be. But that's okay because we'll have the essentials to live and to survive and things of that nature. You know, like I say, you know, with the government, you know, buying up all the real estate, you know, turning us into a renter nation, and the government, you know, supplying those rents, you know, supplying those places to live, supplying our health care, supplying our education. You know, all of these things are part of the process and part of the play. You see, and that's why, you know, things are happening the way they are with Bernie Sanders coming out saying all the things that he's talking about. You know, with Hillary Clinton, Hillary's going to carry this out. You know, Bernie brought it to the forefront, but you can best believe that the orchestrators or the authors of all of this, you know, gave him, you know, the script, if you will, to bring forward, and Hillary's going to carry it out. Now, on the other side with Donald Trump and all them jokers, you know, I mean, that's a bunch of entertainment, if you will. It's no different than the WWE or WWF or whatever the case may be. You know, so we're getting entertained as all this stuff is taking place, you know, behind the scenes and behind the curtain. So, which is, that's kind of cool. You know, it's been fun and funny and very interesting. And I can tell you how you can tell this is because just this past weekend, you know, the Koch brothers, especially Charles Koch, he all but endorsed Hillary Clinton. You know, he actually did. If you look at his mannerisms and what he said, now, Mr. Koch, you know, there's no way in the world, being as influential and powerful as he is, he's one of the, you know, authors out there, and well, I should say a subpart of the authors and stuff. And you can look at his history too and find out what Koch, you know, who, you know, what, beliefs, you know, I mean, excuse me, not belief system, but what genealogy he falls upon. That is right, very interesting that it's the same ones that and the super authors that, you know, that can, you know, that control or can, you know, the way the earth rotates. You know, like I say, God holds the earth and the wealth and the power, the real wealth and the power, the trillionaires make it rotate, and he's a subset, you know, of that particular lineage of people. But he, like I said, he couldn't even, he didn't endorse Trump, you know, or Cruz or anything on the Republican side, which is unprecedented and unheard of. He did throw his support and endorsement behind Hillary Clinton. And you can tell it by his mannerisms and exactly what he said. He's not the type of man that has to bite his tongue, you know, on anything and in any regard in this earth and in this planet. Just too powerful and too wealthy. But, if he were to draw clarity behind Mrs. Clinton, you know, right now, then you know, all bets are off. Everything is just pretty much, you know, a done deal, a wrap, you know. So you're looking at a lot of revenue being lost and things like that in the media. This is why Bernie's staying in, you know, until the last battle, if you will, because it's all about revenue. It's all about the media. It's all about making money. It's all about political theatrics, you know, that creates and generates all these revenues and different things like that. So that's what that's all about. And I'm going to come back and, you know, revisit that and kind of, you know, break it apart and make it clear and crystal clear and understood for everybody, you know, in the next few broadcasts and stuff like that. But that's just kind of an overscope, you know, of what is actually taking place. This is all theatrics, folks. This is all, you know, like I say, you know, you've heard me say, and I call them, you know, the masters. And when I say the masters, I mean the masters of the grand illusion, you know. And it's just amazing how they do things, you know, and allow things or make things come to pass, and no one really sees the, you know, the Oz behind the curtain, if you will. I don't know if I said this, but today is April the 25th in the year 2016, and this is the name of this broadcast is The Wall and the Will. Okay, because there's some interesting things I'm going to share with you right quick. But I kind of put things, you know, in reverse just because I started talking about them. And, you know, there you have it, you know, because all of this, it all ties together. See, it's all prophecy. This is all prophecy, you know, which is what makes it all really cool, you know, and how we, you know, bring about all of this change and stuff like that. I'm trying to think, what did President Obama just do? He just did something. I can't remember. I knew I should have wrote it down, but he just did something was pretty cool. He did something. Oh, well, one thing he did, he went to the Queen's birthday. I think it's her 90th or 91st birthday or something like that. Now, I find it real ironic that every time the Queen has an event or a birthday, if don't nobody else show up, you know, no other ruler or leader in the world shows up, president in the world, Mr. Obama does. One would make you say, why is that? And if you ever look at the Queen when she sees Barack Obama, she looks at him as a grandchild, as a son, or some type of family member. You know, she is just so elated, you know, and so happy when he's around, like, you know, my grandson, or something like that. And like I told you years ago, she's the first person I ever seen shake another human being's hand without a glove on. He was the first one. You see, that I have ever seen. It was just something that just, you know, a code of ethics, you know, for the Queen to never touch the flesh of any other human being. Now, when Bush came and visited, she never took her glove off for him, you know. But when Barack Obama shows up, that glove's not on. Now, I didn't see the, you know, meeting of them last time, you know, or anything like that, but I'm sure the embrace was very warm and genuine. So I think there's some heritage there. I think there's a lineage. Because Barack Obama has a European grandparent or great auntie or somebody there that connects him with, you know, like with Dick Cheney, for instance, and with royalty and things of that nature. So I think that there's probably something there. You know, it just doesn't, you know, he just doesn't make that, you know, gesture or that effort just out of, you know, courtesy or anything like that. They said that he went over there and spoke with Cameron and all this other kind of stuff. But, you know, his objective for going over there was, of course, to honor the Queen and sharing her birthday, which I think is a wonderful and beautiful thing. Now, the will and the law. Now, I always want to go back, because this is going to be my little piece, if you will, because I think this is, again, it's the most important piece of scripture in all of prophecy and all of scriptures, you know, because it just encapsulates, you know, everything that you try to be about in the spiritual realm, in the righteous realm. Okay, and I'm just going to touch on it real quick. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there go within, and there will be many that go within that way. Okay, I'm just going to phrase it that way. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto eternal life. And very few there be that find it. Okay, it's huge. Beware of false prophets, because they come to you as sheep in wolves' clothing. And do men gather good fruit? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit or evil fruit. Okay, every man that bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast. Okay, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit or doesn't bring forth the truth is hewn down and cast into the fire. Okay. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall be known, or ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is so key right here. This is it right here, folks. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's it. He didn't expand on that. He didn't take away from that or anything like that. And then he went to clarify, you know, in terms of Lord, Lord, you know, have we not prophesied in the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus cast out devils, in the name of Jesus done many wonderful works. And he said, depart from me, ye that work the iniquity. Depart from me, ye that sin. That's what he's saying. Depart from me, ye that sin. Okay. And the sin, of course, is that he that doeth the will of my Father, he that whoever that doesn't do the will of the Father is living and doing the works of a sinner. Okay, because they tried to say we prophesy in the name of Jesus and such like that, and he said, nope, that's not it. Get away from me because you're sinners. You didn't do what I tell you to do. All right, now, again, that word iniquity, ties back into, we can jump to Exodus 20, and I'm the Lord thy God that brought you out of Egypt in the house of bondage. So he's talking to the children of Israel. Thou shalt serve no other gods before me. Thou not shalt make any graven image or any likeness thing thereof, in earth beneath, water above, and, you know, like we already talked about, the heaven above. No other image, okay? No graven image, all right? And that's that man. That's a man up on the cross. He's dead up on the cross. That's a graven image. Thou shalt not bow thyself unto them, nor serve not the Lord thy God, because I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. So if you are doing, you know, bowing down to other gods, any other thing, any other god, then the sin under which you commit will be passed down to your fourth, third, and fourth generation. You see what I'm saying? Of those who hate me. And he says he is showing mercy unto thousands of them who love me and keep my commandment. Okay, so there's a direct, you know, thing of love and hate. Either you do or you don't. You don't do what you do before men, you know, but you have to be, you know, about what you do before God. Now, we're gonna point that out here in just a moment. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Now, the Sabbath day is actually Saturday. Folks, you can do it right now. Get up and go to any calendar that you see in your presence, or find a calendar. Pull it up on your cell phone, on your smartphone, or whatever the case. Look at the calendar. Simple as that. You'll find that the first day is Sunday, and the seventh day is Saturday. That is the true Sabbath. Rome and Constantine have done a heck of a thing, you know, to change that around for the convenience of man. And not the serving of the Lord of God, the Lord our God. 6 days shall thou labor and do thy work, but on the seventh day of the Sabbath thou shalt rest. Nobody should do no work. Sons, daughters, manservants, maidservants, cattle, strangers, nobody should do any work on that day. For 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the seas and all that. And on the seventh day he blessed the Sabbath and he hallowed it, you see. And again, that is on Saturday. Look at it. This is another one of these misdirection that we've been placed up under, you know, thanks to, you know, Constantine the Roman and, you know, and all that stuff. Roman in the Bible, you know, and that's an interesting thing, too, because it's a Hebrew book, Hebrew being the oldest book of the Bible. You can do your research there. And it being a Hebrew Israelite or a Jewish book or doctrine, and Rome is all in it. You know, Rome is all in there, you know, mixing things up, you know, messing things up, you know. So people fall behind it, you know, because it's eloquently written and put forward, you know, so people buy into it. You know, so that's just, you know, that's just what it is. But we're unbreaking that yoke. We're breaking that yoke and getting, you know, the spirit of man and the souls of men back on the right course, you know, in the here and now. Thou shalt not kill. Boy, would that be something if people honor that commandment? Okay. What kind of world would we live in then? You know, thou shalt not kill. It didn't say what we shouldn't kill. It just says thou shalt not kill, period. You know, and I follow that rule. I follow that law. Anytime, even an insect, if I have to kill an insect because it looks like it might be dangerous to me or my family, like a spider or something like that, I pray for it before I take its life. You see what I'm saying? And the majority of them, which my children have seen me pick up bugs and different things like that and put them outside, even spiders that I feel that aren't harmful, you know, I'll pick them up and put them outside, you know, and I fuss at them when I put them out there. You stay out of my house now, you know. And it's kind of like there's a connection there, you know, there's a spiritual connection there, you know, so because we're all connected. Everything is connected, you know, in the spirit realm. You say, thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, boy, would that save a lot of lives, you know, straighten out a lot of things. Thou shalt not steal. I mean, you know, come on, you know, What would that be like? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, covet thy neighbor's wife, their maidservant, manservant, ox or ass, or anything that belongs to the neighbor. And all the people saw the thunder and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpets and mountain smoking and all that kind of thing. They said to Moses, speak thou to us and we will hear, but let not God speak to us, lest we die. You know, and that was kind of, you know, they was kind of afraid there. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, okay, to see what you all about, see if you're going to follow his will and his way, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not, okay, that ye sin not. That's what God is all about, that ye sin not, all right? Okay, so, and then it went on talking about, you know, talking about the children of Israel, and ye have seen it, I talk with you from heaven, and all that kind of stuff. But I wanted to point that out. That's the law, folks. That is the law right there. You're not arguing with me. You're arguing with the law. You'll never win that argument. You will never, ever win that argument. I don't care who you before, you know, what pastor you bring to me, before me, whoever. I don't care if it's Jimmy Farr. I don't care if it's Billy Graham, the son of Billy Graham, or Joe Copeland, Copeland. I can't remember what his first name is. I knew it, Joe Copeland, but Kenneth Copeland and, you know, all his entourage and stuff like that, I'll squash them. I'll squash them so quickly, you know, with this word right here, with the word, you see. And this is what's going to be when God comes back. You know, there is going to be, and he's already coming back. He's coming back through humans, coming back through his word and his will, as in this broadcast here. But when he comes back, the first thing and first place he has to straighten out is the church, his bride, you see. And that's what this is all about, you know, correcting, you know, the incorrectness of the church, you know, because they're not teaching this in church. They're not teaching the truth. And therefore, when the people come out, they're not free. They're in the same condition they were when they went into the church. They're even worse off when they come out, you see, because they've been, you know, taught and all this misleading, new doctrine, you know, and it's masterful even how they have done it. You know, they have all but taken God out of the church, you see, when it is his church, okay? Now, what we're going to do just to kind of to back this up, to reinforce what I said, we're going to go straight to the Lord's Prayer, okay? Because a lot of people say, okay, well, how do I recover from all this, you know, from all this Christianity and all this Islam and all this Buddha and all these different things? Simple, very simple. You know, God made it simple. Yeshua, Jesus, you know, made it simple. That's what he came here for, to teach us how to do this. No one understood what he was doing. And even those that did, you know, misconstrued or changed the, you know, the meaning of his purpose, you know, for why he came and said the things that he said, you know, and you could tell that, but like I said, they taunt him, where is your God now, okay? But he was forever present, to Daniel and the lion's den, you know, he was present. So anyhow, it says we got 90 seconds to love one another, take care of one another, it's the right thing to do. It's what God wants to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Okay. Now, we're going to jump into this real quick because I want to get through this. Take heed that ye do not do your alms before men. Okay. Now, it says, take heed. It says, I got 60 seconds. I'm going to keep on talking. Take heed that you do not give your prayers before men to be seen of men. Okay, to be seen. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Folks, do you not understand what this is saying here? It says, take heed, beware that you don't do your prayer before men to be seen of men. That's what you see in church, these big mega churches, big churches. This is what this is all about. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Not some, but no reward. So your prayer, your alms, and your prayer is futile. Okay, it says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do. Okay, the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the street, that they may be seen of men. Hold on just a minute. I got a phone. that they receive in the streets and sun, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they shall have their reward. Folks, that reward is nothing pleasant. Okay? It says, therefore that do not sound a trumpet, don't give your own, you know, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Now look up that word hypocrite, okay? That they may have glory of men, not glory of God, but glory of men. For verily I say unto you, they shall have their reward. That's horrible. Okay. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret. In secret. That's a personal and intimate relationship between you and the Father. Okay, what in the world? I got something flying around here. But anyhow, I don't want to kill it, but it keeps me in my face. But anyhow, that alms be secret, and the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Okay? He said to give your alms in secret, and when Father sees this, in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing on the synagogues and the street corners, the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they shall have their reward. He repeats that again. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain reputation as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Folks, now vain reputations is that cross, making that cross symbol, you know, in front of you and stuff like that. And he calls them heathen. You know, so I would dare to go out and say that that's the Roman way of doing things, and he's calling them heathens, and that's just there it is. You know, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking, and you know how they like to, you know, go through all these different prayers and pieces and different things like that. But not ye who are like unto them, for their Father knoweth what ye things of ye ask before he asketh them. This is why you don't have to be all over the place praying about all over the thing, you know, all kinds of things. Because be not ye therefore unlike unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. He already knows. If you're a believer of God, believer of the Hallowed One, you know, and a true and firm believer in him, then, you know, you'll abide by this, because what you'll have is faith that he already knows what you're going to ask before you ask it, because you're one and the same. You see, your thoughts are his thoughts are your thoughts. You see what I'm saying? So he already knows what you're thinking about, what you need of. He's seeing through your eyes. You know, and so forth and so on. So he already knows. So he said, this is all you have to pray. After this manner, therefore, you pray ye, our Father, God the Father, our Father, Jesus' Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay. Righteous be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay, lenders, the borrowers and lenders, and lead us not into temptation, that's coveting thy neighbor's wife and all the neighbor's asses and all the neighbor's this and that and stuff, you know, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, amen. That's it, point blank, that's all you got to do, and you're there. As simple as that. Okay, now, wanted to jump over here right quick because I'm running out of time to talk about the wall. The Great Wall is what's called the Western Wall. It's talking about some, you know, Judeo-Christians and people that went over there and stuff. It says, now, is the real name, okay, where I'm at is faithstreet.com, and it's called the Wailing Wall, and you can just simply Google the Wailing Wall and find that on Faith piece here. Is the name of the actual Wailing Wall? No, the name is not the Wailing Wall. It's called the Western Wall. It's not that... It's not what you think it is. Many people assume that the Western Wall is one side of a castle-style fortress. In reality, it's simply a retaining wall below the Temple Mount, okay? It's way bigger than what you see. It's like 1,600 feet in length, you know, so it's a big, huge wall. And this is what's important. This is what's interesting. This particular wall, the retaining wall for the original Second Temple, was built way back in 19 BC. This is before Christ, by Herod the Great, King Herod the Great, a brutally violent man who murdered rabbis, and his own family members, was also a prodigious builder. All told, it took more than 1,000 workers to construct the Western Wall. Sadly, the wall was destroyed just a few decades later, and now Jews pray for the restoration of the Third Temple. Okay, it's a highly contested piece of real estate. If you're hoping the Western Wall is a piece of happiness, think again. Three major world religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, are sitting over there arguing and battling for this site. For more than 1,000 years, Jerusalem has been attacked more than 50 times because of this wall. It's not a piece we're missing. If you're expecting to go to his girlfriend and boyfriend, stop it again. Men are separated over there by a wooden fence. It's not just a place for prayer for Jews. It's not a place for prayer for anybody. You see what I'm saying? You know, because what the guy said, make it not of wood and what? Stone. Okay? And here you go. So this is why everything over there is in a disarray, because they're not following the will of God. You see? So any and every place that you find people that have turned their face from the way and the will of God, you find disarray. You find, you know, hatred, wars, and different things like that of individual, separation and confrontation, combat, and all that other kind of stuff. You see, and that's just like I said, you know, the spirit of the, you know, negative spirit. You know, if I were of the negative spirit, I would divide mankind. Well, these are dividing, you know, practices and ways to divide mankind. This is certainly not the will of God. You know, so for them to go over there and, you know, with the yarmulkes and high hats and the braids and stuff and bowing down, to, you know, making the bobbing up at the wall and stuff, this is totally sinful. Total sinful. Total iniquity is spelled out. Man, I ain't got nothing to do with what is being said. I didn't create that word. You know, God created that word. Okay, so for all of those that are doing so, shame on you. And like you said, narrow is the way. A few will enter. This is why. Okay? So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. I think I covered everything I wanted to do. And I'll come back again. They're going to do a thing on why do they hate us. I think that comes on tonight, talking about extreme Islam. You need to tune into that. It'll clip back, you know. Maybe they'll find a solution. Maybe they'll know why. Maybe they won't. But it's easy, and we'll touch on that on my next broadcast as to why they actually hate us. Because it's a very valid reason as to why. And it's all about what I, you know, been talking about and teaching here in the healing that will, you know, that will correct this whole way of thinking, you know, towards us and us towards them, you know, as one people, one God and one way of life will heal all things. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Take care of one another. Love one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Until the next broadcast, take care and so long for now.